You are listening to a teaching from Reality LA.
Well, this is Vision Sunday, and this is an annual rhythm for us as a church where we start the year by clarifying who we are. We look back to celebrate what God has done and look forward to anticipate where he's leading us. And I am so excited. We're going to dream big, we're going to pray big, and then we're going to put our hands to the plow and get to work. But let's be clear about something. We want God's vision for our church. And that's why the other pastors and I have spent literally months in prayer, seeking the Lord, discerning where he wants to lead us as a church. We want a vision so big that if God doesn't come through, that we will fall flat on our faces. And because it's God's vision that we want, let's start by going to God in prayer. All right, pray with me. Lord, we want what you want for our church and for our city. And so we lay down our agendas before you, God, and ask that you would align us to your vision for our church. God, we pray with desperation, knowing that your word says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. Lord, we're desperate for you to move, but we also pray with expectancy, knowing that you are building your church in this city. You're moving amongst us. You're doing a powerful work. But God, we come before you in our desires to seek renewal, to see the gospel go forth in this place that you've called us to, and pray that in this year to come, that you would show us what that looks like, that you would show us what you want us to focus on, that you would lead us and guide us as our good shepherd. And Lord, I pray for every one of us today that we wouldn't just hear this vision, that we wouldn't just have a vision, but that we would unite around this, that we would all see our part, that we would all know that our role matters, and that we would follow where you would lead us, God. Lord, we ask that you would give us a burden for this city. Give us clarity on where you would have us go, and give us the courage to follow wherever you would lead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, what I want to do today is I want to answer five essential questions for us as a church. And the first question is this: why are we here? Why live in the city of angels? Why have a church in the heart of Hollywood? Sometimes it's hard to know why we're here because this city is so perplexing itself. Los Angeles is a paradox, a bewildering combination of beauty and brokenness. It's the city of dreams, but mostly broken dreams. There are so many people, and yet it's so lonely. It's incredibly diverse, and yet so divided. And the paradox of Los Angeles creates a tension that I think we all experience. We love LA, and yet it's so hard to live in LA. Michael Connelly has made a career writing novels based in Los Angeles. And in one of his books, a character reflects back on his time in LA, describing the city of angels like this. Los Angeles was the kind of place where everybody was from somewhere else and nobody really dropped anchor. It was a transient place. People drawn by the dream, people running from the nightmare. Millions of people, and all of them ready to make a break for it if necessary. Figuratively, literally, metaphorically, any way you want to look at it. Everybody in LA keeps a bag packed, just in case. So while LA is certainly mesmerizing, this dynamic creates a sense of shallowness, a feeling of displacement, a lack of rootedness. So why are we here? Well, the paradox of Los Angeles means that there is both a great need and an incredible opportunity. And the need is overwhelming. Los Angeles has the highest homeless population in the country, with over 31,000 people experiencing homelessness. We have the largest foster care crisis in the nation, with over 30,000 kids in the foster care system. 20% of people here live below the poverty line, and 1 out of 7 people in LA will go to bed every night hungry. There's such a great need, but not just because people are hungry for food. No, the people of Los Angeles are starving spiritually as well. this craving for meaning and purpose in life plays out in a lot of different ways that you can see all over our city. I mean, LA is a hotbed for cults, usually built around authoritarian leaders and oppressive practices. You can find pretty much all the major world religions just within blocks of here, and then variations and combinations of them. And there's an abundance of New Age spirituality that puts the sovereign self at the center of the universe. This truly is the land of cults and crystals, where celebrities are worshipped and people offer themselves at the altar of fame. And LA is quite unique in regards to faith. If you think of other major cities like New York or London, they're filled with people who usually consider themselves to be secular. But I would say that LA is hyper-religious. It's a melting pot of spirituality and religion. But spirituality and religion aren't necessarily good things in and of themselves. People in LA are very spiritual, but the vast majority of people in Los Angeles do not know Jesus. And when we talk about the need in our city, this is by far the greatest need. In fact, of all the statistics I've mentioned, here's the most heartbreaking of them all. 71% of people in Los Angeles say that they have not made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is important in their life. So if you're a Christian, you know that joy that you have that goes beyond circumstance? 71% of people in this city don't have that. You know that freedom that comes with forgiveness? 71% of people haven't experienced that. You know the depth of God-centered community? 71% of people in LA don't have that. And that means that the vast majority of the people you live near, work with, or walk by are living under the weight of their sin, separated from the very God who made them and loves them. This is weighty. This is of eternal significance. So we're here because there's a great need, but also because there's a great opportunity. There's a lot of opportunity. Los Angeles has 4 million people spread over 500 square miles in 114 different neighborhoods. And if you combine all the people, including the cities that are inside of Los Angeles, like West Hollywood or Burbank or Santa Monica, or the surrounding areas or cities like Long Beach or Pasadena, then you have over 13 million people. So that's a lot of people and a lot of opportunity to reach people. But we also have the opportunity to reach a diversity of people and therefore truly reflect the multicultural nature of the kingdom of God. I mean, think about this. There are over 220 languages that are spoken in Los Angeles. So I always say that if you want to make disciples of all nations, you can either go to all the nations or you can come to Los Angeles where all the nations come together in one place. And yet by reaching people here, we actually do have an opportunity to reach the nations because what happens in LA has ripple effects throughout the world. So we're here because there's a great need and we have an amazing opportunity. But even more so, we're here because we are called by God. Jesus loves LA. And he was here changing lives long before we got here. And he will be doing the same long after we are gone. And for some reason, in God's infinite mercy, he has chosen to plant us right here in the heart of Los Angeles and to use us in ways beyond what we could ever take credit for. And so we need to remember that we are called by God to this city. Far too often, people only think of calling in terms of leaving. Like someone's leaving Los Angeles because they're called somewhere else. But we also need to think of calling in terms of staying. That God called me here and God is calling me deeper and deeper into this city that he loves. See, I love Los Angeles. We as a church love Los Angeles. But what matters most is that Jesus loves Los Angeles. That is why we're here. And so once we're clear on why we're here, then we've got to ask the second question. Who are we? What defines us as a church, Reality LA? And I want to answer that by sharing our vision and our mission. And you hear these all the time, but if we don't unpack them from time to time, then they'll just become empty slogans that we regurgitate rather than actually shaping our lives and our community. Okay, so first, our vision is that we are a community seeking the renewal of our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this vision comes directly from the mouth of Christ. In Revelation 21, 5, Jesus, seated on the throne, says, "Behold, I am making all things new." And what we long for, what we dream about, what we pray over is seeing that renewal touch down right here in the city of angels. And when we talk about renewal, we're talking about spiritual renewal, where lives are being transformed by grace. We're talking about relational renewal, where people are being drawn into a community that functions like family. We're talking about cultural renewal, where we're seeing change in the very patterns of our city. But all of this comes through the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Everyone longs for renewal, but people in our city are looking for that through politics, through career success or sexuality or the latest quick fix gimmick that will change your life. What Los Angeles truly needs is Jesus. And the good news is that in sending his son, God has already accomplished what is necessary to experience that joy and freedom and peace that we were made for and that we long for. Jesus came and showed us what perfect humanity looks like. He was loving, he was kind, he was just, he was wise, he was compassionate, he was merciful. And yet he took his perfect life and offered it up in our place for our sins by dying on the cross. But then he rose from the grave, conquering sin, Satan, and death, and he's alive today. And this is the good news. And what this means for us is that the search for approval is over. God approves of you in Christ. It means that our longing for community can be met. The church is the family of God. It means that there's something worth living for bigger than myself, because we're called not to build our own little kingdoms, but to live for God's kingdom. But the gospel not only saves us from our sin, it makes us followers of our Savior. And so Jesus is renewing all things, and within that broader vision, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus who love God, one another, and our city. That means that we want to see people who are far from Jesus become followers of Jesus and learn to build everything in their lives around him. Their work, their relationships, their emotions, their past, their future, all of it rearranging life around Christ. That's what we're about. We're not here to draw a crowd. We're here to make disciples. That's who we are as a church. We're broken people who are experiencing the renewing power of the gospel and want to see it spread throughout Los Angeles. And so that leads us to our third question. Where have we been? Throughout the scriptures, you constantly see God calling his people to pause, look back, and reflect. Remember what the Lord has done. Because remembering what God has done stirs up great anticipation for what he's going to do. So let's take a little bit of time and look back on 2018 to reflect on God's faithfulness to us as a church. First of all, God taught us as he always does through his word. And we spent the entirety of 2018 in the book of Mark learning the way of Jesus for the good of Los Angeles. And as we have lived in the story of Jesus, we learned that the gospel isn't a ticket to heaven, it's a power for life. We learned that the gospel sets us on a path where we follow Jesus together every day, every year, every season, for all of life, learning to love God and love our neighbor with everything that we have. I think we'll look back on 2018 as the year that we really learned what it means to be disciples. Remember in scripture that it talks about the people of God, not primarily as believers or even as Christians, but as disciples. And we spent all year learning what it means to be a disciple, to be with Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to become like Jesus. And this takes a lifetime. I know people who will look back and say, I got saved during the Mark series. I know people who will look back and say, I got serious about my faith through the Mark series. But we can all say we saw more of the fullness of Christ and learned to follow him. So throughout 2018, we learned the way of Jesus. But I want you to remember, if you were here, all the way back to Vision Sunday of last year, where we talked about how to learn the way of Jesus, we need to go to the scriptures, but there's also three things that we wanted to focus on throughout the year. And I want to go back and look at those and see how the Lord bore fruit in each of those. So the first thing that we talked about a year ago was how we wanted to have a renewed community group vision. That we really needed this to learn the way of Jesus. And community is difficult in this city, and so we took time to step back and reevaluate and say, what are we doing with community groups and how does that work? And we cast a new vision. This came from our pastors working on this, our staff who work on our community groups team working on this. And we cast this vision of the community groups at Reality LA functioning as a family of disciples on mission with Jesus. The idea here is that community wouldn't be a revolving door where people come and go, but that it would be more like a dinner table, where we're sitting around together with intimacy, with trust, pouring into each other's lives. We want the kind of communities where you're sharing life, where you're praying for one another, where you're meeting each other's needs, where you're constantly pointing one another back to Jesus. And so we cast this vision of communities as families of disciples on mission with Jesus. And then our community groups team made a foundations guide that we all went through to cultivate these kind of communities because they're not going to happen by accident. You're not just going to accidentally find yourself sacrificially loving others. We have to learn this. And so we went through that over time. And it's been so incredible hearing the fruit of that. And it's a good thing that we have strong vision here and that we have tools to help cultivate that because there's such a great hunger for community in our church and in our city. In fact, in 2018, we had over 940 new people request to join community groups. And so we're working toward that of even raising up more leaders and having more community groups. And so we added a bunch of leaders over this last year. We have over 180 community group leaders now. We came up with a new leader handbook so we can raise up more leaders. And right now we have 51 community groups spread out all over Los Angeles, as far north as Lakeview Terrace, as far south as Long Beach, as far east as Temple City, and as far west as, well, the Pacific Ocean. Maybe Santa Monica, unless somebody meets on a yacht. Maybe invite me to that community group. No, I already have a community group. I'm committed to them, okay? But really, as we look back on 2018, I think it was a great year for our community groups. And it's interesting because you don't always hear, because communities are, you know, you're doing life together throughout the week in your neighborhood. And it's not like we're all publishing that. But as a pastor, I get sneak peeks into those in terms of being able to sit with people and hearing about how the Lord's working in their life and constantly hearing, my community group helped me get through this. My community group sat and wept with me. My community group provided when I had nothing during this time. My community group was there. I heard that over and over and over again. I got to see it this year doing weddings and funerals, of seeing community groups rally around people, whether that's weeping together or rejoicing together. So there was so much fruit from that, and I'm excited as we move forward to see even more of it. The second way we talked about in 2018 wanting to learn the way of Jesus was by having biblical leadership structures. So we believe that a healthy church requires healthy biblical leadership. And what we've always believed in terms of the way church leadership should be set up is that Jesus is the head of the church. He is the chief shepherd of the church in general and of our church, Reality LA. But then under the authority of Jesus, Scripture talks about a shared leadership that includes the offices of elders and deacons. And so we had elders going into 2018, but we did not have deacons. And so in 2018, we implemented the biblical office of deacon, and we installed 21 new deacons in our church. Yeah, we can praise God for that. The deacons are amazing. These are men and women who love the Lord, who love this church, and are committed to the people in the different regions that they live in, and particularly to supporting our community group leaders. And it's been so healthy. It's been so good. There's been so much fruit from it. And honestly, we're just getting going. So I'm excited for that as we move forward. But I'm grateful for the deacons that we added in 2018. We also appointed two new elders in 2018. Mike Portland became a pastor here. He's a pastor for marriage, family, and singleness. He had a great mustache when he was appointed as an elder, as you can see in the picture. It's the mustache is no longer with us, I regret to tell you. We also appointed Nathan Potter as a pastor here, which was so sweet for us. Nathan got saved in this church. He's really grown up as a believer in this church, and for him now to be a shepherd here, and Nathan's our pastor for community. He doesn't have a mustache either. That's a 2019 resolution that I'm giving him. But this is so sweet for us as a church. I mean, to step back and think about how crazy this is, that at the beginning of 2018, we had four pastors and zero deacons, and we finished the year with six pastors and 21 deacons. It's incredible, and to think about the health that that's going to cultivate in our church over time is amazing. So praise God for that. The third thing, yeah. The third thing that we talked about in wanting to learn the way of Jesus in 2018 was having an effective online platform, okay? This one is much less spiritual and more practical, and yet has been really great. I mean, we laid the city to rest, okay, our old digital platform, and shifted everything to RLA Connect, and honestly, it's been great. It's worked really well. If you are involved in Reality LA, then you now have access to everything in one place, from your community group rhythms, to volunteer schedules, to giving statements, and on and on and on. And while a digital platform is never a replacement for genuine embodied relationships, it can be a great tool in helping facilitate those even more. So it's so sweet to look back at the year and see the way that the Lord provided in all of those areas. And let me just mention a few other highlights from 2018. There's a lot of things that we could say, but a couple of highlights. One is that within our broader efforts to care for orphans, we put on a camp in 2018 for the first time called Royal Family Kids Camp. This was, this is amazing. It's a week-long camp for some of the most vulnerable kids in the foster care system in Los Angeles. I think we had 60 volunteers who gave up a week, who months of preparation, raised money, and put on this camp that was unbelievable. I mean, changing these kids' lives and something that is not just a one-time thing that we did, but is a part of broader efforts to show God's heart for the orphan, has been part of a culture that's been created more in our church where some of you are fostering and adopting, and we're recognizing we've been adopted by God with grace, and to be a part of showing his love to the orphans in our city is an honor. So that was a really beautiful thing, and just to see the impact that that's had on us culturally as a church has been great. In 2018, we also relaunched Icon, which is our way of doing vocational discipleship. The goal here is to have launch events that create ongoing communities where people in the same field can find mutual encouragement and support. And so in 2018, we launched three new Icon communities. The first one that we did was music. We had a great event at Capitol Records. We had the rap artist Propaganda come in and talk about faith and music. And then they've had an ongoing community where they're just supporting each other, praying for each other. We did the same thing for writers and then for actors. And we'll want to keep doing more of those, wanting to teach people how to apply their faith to their work and seeing their vocation truly as a calling from God and one of the greatest ways in which that we will love the city that God has called us to. I could go on and on and on of the things that happened in 2018. I mean, we have an internship with 30 people in it that's been amazing. We had tons of people who have gone through the essentials class. We had a bunch of people get married and go through the marriage prep class. We did our first pre-parenting class. We've partnered with 16 different organizations all over Los Angeles to show the love of God from the unborn to the elderly. We partner with global missionaries and support people who are doing great work in Romania, Haiti, Kenya, Costa Rica, the Middle East, and on and on. And so there's so much stuff that the Lord has done. There's so much stuff going on. But at the end of the day, it's about people. It's about God changing lives, about God saving the lost and bringing them into community. I mean, we had a lot of people get baptized this last year, and that's just a picture of the gospel, that we are washed clean, that we are brought in as a family, and the Lord has done that miracle of salvation, that miracle of growing us in maturity. He's done it over and over and over again, where we're just left in awe of who God is and what he's done. And then lastly, in 2018, perhaps the most significant thing is that God gave us a new home. I mean, we are almost 13 years old as a church, and we've never owned property. We've never owned a building. We meet in here, and this is a great space for us on Sundays, and will continue to be, but we've also rented office space all over Hollywood. So we've never owned anything, but we've prayed. And this year, God answered our prayers in the most miraculous way. Hope International Bible Fellowship was a church that just 1 mile down the street here on Fountain Avenue that started in 1928. I mean, this was when the film industry was just booming, but they were still silent films. And a church was planted there, and they have faithfully preached the gospel for 90 years in the heart of Hollywood on Fountain and Edgemont. And in the last 10 or 15 years have developed a ministry of serving the most marginalized in the community right there. And so in 2018, the leadership of Hope International Bible Fellowship approached us and told us that they believed that it was God's will for them to join Reality LA and to give us everything. And I mean, this is just unbelievable. I mean, to review here, because we've talked about this for the last several months, we inherited a small congregation of people who are incredible, who have so much wisdom and experience and are a very diverse group, and that we have so much we can learn from, especially in loving those who are hurting. We inherited a recovery program and a food ministry that has an incredible presence in Los Angeles. And we inherited two buildings, a church building with a small sanctuary and some event space, and then an office building. And so we look back on this and just say, wow, praise God. Like, he's done more than we could have ever asked or imagined, that not only does he provide for our needs, but we get to step into a stream of faithfulness, of endurance, of perseverance, and shining the light of Christ in this city. It's absolutely incredible. And as we've talked about this, one of the things that I've wanted to remind you all of is that this wasn't just like a random miracle from God, like he's been doing this work in our church over these years, and then he does this like random thing over here. No, what's happened is the Lord has given us a provision within the vision that he's already given us, that he's called us to seek renewal in this city. And he's given us a place to be able to put down roots. He's given us a place to be able to minister over time in ways that we never could have done otherwise. I think that we'll look back on 2018 as one of the most pivotal years in the history of our church. In a city where abandonment is the norm, it's a year where we're able to truly say, we are here to stay, to shine the light of Christ. And church, I just want to say to you, looking back over the last year in 2018, I want to say as your pastor that I'm so proud of you for the way that you have pressed in and been faithful and been sacrificial. It is an absolute honor for me, first of all, just to be a part of this church, as a member of the church, but to be able to be your pastor and serve alongside of our other pastors who love you and pray for you and serve faithfully every day. It's an honor for me and for us to be able to serve. And so I look back on this last year just overwhelmed with gratitude. The Lord is doing such a sweet work, and we get to be a part of it, and I praise God for that. So looking back at 2018 then gives us perspective and confidence as we look forward into 2019. And so that leads us to the fourth question, where are we going? And to answer that question, I want to read you a passage that the Lord has laid on my heart and on the hearts of all of our pastors for our church this year, and that is Psalm chapter 1. If you have your Bible, turn there. If you don't, it'll be on the screen behind me. But this first psalm is an incredible one, and the Lord has just brought us back to this time and time again. I believe it's a timely word for us as a church. And so let me read Psalm 1, and then we'll talk about what it means for us, okay? Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What you have here in Psalm 1 is it lays out two different paths, two ways to live, each one represented by a different image. They're both agricultural images. And one way it says is that you're like chaff. Now, here we are in Los Angeles, and not a lot of us might not have much of a background in agriculture and know what chaff is, okay? I didn't, so I used all my research abilities that I have, and I Googled it. And when I Googled it, here's what I found out about chaff, okay? Chaff is basically the external husk, okay? If you think about grain, wheat, chaff is the dry, scaly casing around the seeds or the grain. So to get the grain out of the wheat, you have to separate the chaff from that. And the way that that takes place is this process called winnowing. And winnowing is where you take wheat, for example, and you throw it up in the air, and as the wind blows, it blows away the chaff, this external husk around it, and what's more substantive, the grain, falls down. And so this is a picture of life apart from God. It's all external, but no substance. And when the wind comes, it's driven away. There's nothing left to show. It's a picture of the way life apart from God is and the way that so many people in our city live their lives, focusing on the external, focusing on perception, on what people think, and yet neglecting what's happening on the inside and what will last over time. But Psalm 1 gives us another way to live. There's another picture, and this picture is of a tree planted by streams of water. This is so different than the way that we often think. In our culture, we focus on what's external and immediate. But this is a vision of vibrancy and growth that starts internally and matures over time. But the key here is that the tree is planted by streams of water. Because you could look at a tree and you might not know too much from the outside. But the picture here is that this tree has roots that are going down deep. They're being nourished by the water of this stream. And as they are, the tree grows strong. It bears fruit. It can withstand the wind and the winter. It's a picture of life with God and maturing with God. And for you as an individual, I hope in 2019 that it's a year where the roots go down deep for you, where you grow, but in such a way where you are being nourished by the water of the Word of God as the roots go deep in the soil of prayer. And I believe that as we do that, we're going to experience fruit from the Lord. And I'm excited for that. I mean, honestly, as I look forward in 2019, I'm expectant and excited of what the Lord is going to do in us as a church and for you as an individual. I believe that God can do anything. He's going to work in your life. But I also need to say that I'm not a motivational speaker and I'm not some like religious guru. I'm a pastor. And so I also want to tell you at the beginning of this year that in 2019, you're going to experience disappointment. There's going to be things that happen that were unexpected. You're going to go through struggle and trial. And when you do, I hope that you can withstand the wind and the winter because you have roots that go down deep, that you are rooted in God, that you are being nourished and growing in such a way that truly can withstand the wind and the winter. And that's what we want for us, not only as individuals, but for us as a church, that we, Reality LA, would be like a tree planted by streams of water right in the heart of Los Angeles. This is the kind of rootedness that we were made for and yet that is so rarely experienced. Walter Brueggemann is an Old Testament scholar, and he speaks of the failure of an urban promise, the promise that a city makes to us. And he says this, that promise concerned human persons who could lead detached, unrooted lives of endless choice and no commitment. It was glamorized around the virtues of mobility and anonymity that seemed so full of promise for freedom and self-actualization. But it has failed. It is now clear that a sense of place is a human hunger that urban promise has not met. It is rootlessness and not meaninglessness that characterizes the current crisis. I think that's certainly true of the city that we are in. And yet God gives us the vision that we need to be rooted, to be people who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. It's when we are rooted in God that we can be rooted in our lives. And that's why I believe that the Lord is calling us to this as a church. In 2019, we want to learn to be rooted. To be rooted in Los Angeles, to be rooted in Christ, to be rooted in the church. And I'm not saying that you have to commit your whole life to living in Los Angeles. When we talk about putting down roots, it's not about a mortgage, but a mentality that we're not here to take, but to give. We're not here as tourists, but as citizens. We're not here as consumers, but as contributors. That is the vision that the Lord is calling us to live into. But it will not be easy. Turns out that it's tough to put down roots in a city that's covered in concrete. And so to learn to be a people who are rooted, it's going to take a deliberate effort that will take the whole year and involve several different aspects. And so first, I want to say that we want Psalm 1 to be like a banner over us this entire year. And so what I want to challenge you to as an individual is I want to challenge you to memorize Psalm 1 this year. That you would hide God's word in your heart. And in Psalm 1, it actually talks about meditating on God's word. And to meditate is this sustained reflection on God's word. And so we want to have a sustained reflection on Psalm 1 throughout the entire year, allowing this vision of a tree planted by streams of water to seep deep down into our souls. So we're going to memorize Psalm 1. And one of the best ways to memorize is to meditate on the passage. Just meditate over this passage over and over and over again, and you'll have it memorized. So we're going to memorize Psalm 1. Another thing that we're going to do throughout 2019 is that we are going to recite Psalm 1 together every 2 to 3 months. That this is just a way for us as a people with one voice of remembering this call to rootedness in our city. Second, if we're going to be rooted, then we're going to have to be nourished by the word of God. And so next week, we're going to start a new sermon series that will take us all the way through July. And that next sermon series will be on the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is an Old Testament prophet whom God uses to prepare his people to be rooted in a place that's hard to call home. It's really a vision of being a faithful presence in exile. And I think it's perfect for us in this season as a church. So we'll start that next week. But then in addition to being guided by God's word, there are three practical ways that we want to put down roots throughout this year, okay? And the first is this. We want to settle into the Hope Center, okay? We've always wanted to be rooted as a church, but God has provided in a way that enables us to be more rooted in the city than we ever could have been. And so think about it like this. God has given us a new home, but it's a process to move in and then settle in, right? If you move into an apartment or a house, you think of being in boxes for a while, it taking time for it to start feeling like home. Well, this is going to be a year for us to really settle into this new home that the Lord has given us. And I want to give you a bit of an update on this because the last several months have really been a transitional season. We made the big announcement, but then to make sure that we're above board in inheriting all of this that the Lord is giving us, there's been a lot of practical things involved. There's been a lot of conversations with lawyers, there's been inspections, there's been surveys, there's been permits, all of that kind of stuff, and we've been technically in this season of escrow, and that comes to an end. We will close that on January 15th, which is on Tuesday, okay? Praise God. And so this week will be a key turning point for us in all of this, enabling us to really begin to settle in to the Hope Center, to this new space that the Lord has given us. And here's what I mean when I say that we're going to settle into the Hope Center in 2019, because there's a bunch of different aspects to this, okay? First of all, we're going to try to move our offices to the office building that's on Edgemont. And so for the last couple of years, we've been in an office space on Santa Monica Boulevard, and we are trying to currently get out of our lease there and get other people to come in and rent that space. And as soon as we can, we're going to move over into the office building on Edgemont. That will allow us to be present there as a staff, to be connected with the recovery program and the food ministry, to have that stable presence that we're going to be living into for years down the road now. And so that's going to be a lot of work, honestly. The church building is in pretty good condition. The office building needs a lot of updating. And so we're going to be entering into a season of doing a remodel on that space. There's going to be fundraising involved. There's going to be lots of work to be done. So we'll keep you updated on that. But getting our staff, getting people in there on a consistent basis is going to be a huge part of us settling in to the Hope Center. The second way that we're going to settle into this, and this really involves all of us, is that we want to get our church plugged into serving in the food ministry there. I mentioned earlier that poverty and hunger is a major issue in Los Angeles. And I want you to know that our church, we will be serving breakfast and dinner Monday through Friday every week for this year. And that means literally 1,000 meals a week. That means, Lord willing, we will be serving 52,000 meals in 2019. And when I say, yeah, praise God, what an incredible opportunity. And when I say we, I mean we, okay? Like all of us. And I know a lot of you have been waiting patiently. You've been eager to get in and serve, and we've been preparing to be able to enter in and do that in a healthy way. And we're ready for that because there's a lot of needs. There's a lot of ways to serve. I mean, the way this works is we have 12 different Trader Joe's and Whole Foods that we go and get food from, bring it together, sort through it, serve it, and then clean up and all that, and then distribute the rest of it to 15 other nonprofits in Los Angeles. So there's driving to pick up food, sorting, prepping, serving, cleaning, all of that. There's a lot of different ways to serve. And so we want to open the floodgates for this, and we're going to do that by having an informational meeting on February 17th. This is a time to be able to come to the Hope Center, to be able to see the culture that's already there, and to learn what you're stepping into. Because we want people coming not just to serve, but to learn, to see the beautiful culture that's there, of seeing the dignity that's acknowledged in people, seeing the way that people are loved holistically in word and deed. And so we want people coming and serving, but also learning and then taking a piece of that culture back to your neighborhood and living that out there. So on February 17th, we'll have that informational meeting. You can sign up for that just by going to hope.realityla.com. And then we'll get plugged in, and this will be a year where we will we'll be able to serve more than we ever have before. Another way that we'll settle into the Hope Center in 2019 is we'll be having more and more events and trainings and all that kind of stuff there. So you'll get more used to being in the space, and we'll be just using it for ministry as much as we can. And then there's one last way that I want to talk with you about that we'll be settling in with this. I mentioned earlier the preaching of the gospel happening in this space for 90 years, and we want to continue that. And when we started conversations with the church, what they've had traditionally is their services at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays. And so what we've done over the last few months is we've continued that 10:30 service there. And we haven't really talked about it publicly, and here's why. We want to be able to integrate the people in their church into our church without them just feeling swallowed up in a bigger church. And so what we did was we kept that 10:30 service going. We invited several of the community groups that are right around the Hope Center to join in on that 10:30 service. And that's been happening over the last few months. It's been really beautiful. There's been a lot of relationships that are building and people getting involved in different community groups. And so at least for now, we're going to continue that 10:30 service. And what we're asking is that primarily for those community groups that are right around there, that they would be the ones who go to that. Otherwise, for you all to stay here at Helen Bernstein, it's a small sanctuary. We can't fit a lot of people there. If you want to go and check that out on a Sunday at 10:30, that's great. You can't do it all next week because we couldn't all fit. Like I said, it's a small sanctuary. But we'd love for you to drop by on a Sunday sometime and meet people and see the space more. And we'll be doing that as best as we can. It actually works for me with our three services here to do 9, noon, and 5, and then to have the 10:30 service there. It works where I'm able to go over and preach there and be there and then come back. I'm getting in shape from doing that. But it works, but we're also going to be drawing in some of our other pastors to be preaching there more often as well. And so it's going to be great to see that as we move forward as one church, really being integrated in all of these different ways. And then one last thing in regards to that is we'll also be looking into this year just the feasibility of having services over there more and what it would look like for us to have small services there. But there's still a lot of things we have to figure out in terms of what the capacity is there, how many people we can actually fit, where we could find parking for that many people, what's accessible with disabilities, those kind of things. So there's some work to be done to figure out the possibility of other services there as well. But again, this is such a great space for us on Sundays to be able to gather Sunset Boulevard, right in the heart of Hollywood, in a school that we have a great relationship with and can really bless the city through this. Okay, so that's what it's going to be like for us to settle into the Hope Center in 2019. And I just want to remind you with all of this that God's not just giving us a building, He's giving us a presence. He's giving us a place to put down roots in this city. Okay, a second way throughout this next year that we want to put down roots is by establishing regional leadership. This is something that we really started last year in appointing deacons and being very intentional about that, of having deacons in the different regions of the city. And here's the vision that will take, it'll take us beyond this year. But our goal is to have a plurality of elders and deacons in each of the 5 major regions of the city. Okay, so in central LA, in the Valley, in the West Side, Northeast LA, and then South County, to be able to have a plurality of elders and deacons there so that the life of the church can be connected with the leadership of the church. We really believe that that's what we need to be healthy as a church and to make disciples and to contextualize the gospel all over the city. And so our deacons that we have already are still settling into their roles with that. We hope this year to add some more deacons as well. We still need more. And then another thing that we want to do in 2019 as Lord willing, we want to ordain some lay pastors. We want to grow our pastor team for this and just have a broader reach in the city, be more connected with the people of the church. And so, again, Lord willing, we'll be ordaining some lay elders, and we're going to get some diversity in our pastor team, which is something we've been praying about and working towards for a while, and want to continue just to invest in having healthy leadership. Okay, a third way that we want to put down roots in the city in 2019 is by cultivating commitment. And we talked about this a lot last week, at least I talked about it a lot last week, about what it means to be committed to Christ and to the church and to his mission in the city. But this week I read something that helped me understand this in an even deeper way. There's a theologian, I believe he's Canadian, his name is Jean Vanier, and he is a theologian who has spent most of his life creating communities for people with developmental disabilities all over the world. And Vanier says that there are three phases to community, and they go like this. The first phase is idealism. Okay, you go to a community group or you go to a church, and it's, this is great, I love it. These people are like saints. This feels like heaven. This is so great. But it's all an illusion, right? And so that's the first phase of community. So if the first phase is illusion, then you go to disillusion. And the second phase is disappointment. It's, oh, this isn't as great as I thought. These people aren't saints, they're devils. This place is terrible. Like, what's wrong with this, right? So that's phase one, then there's phase two. And then Vanier says the third phase is commitment. And he says this, okay? If people manage to get through the first two phases, they come to the third phase, that of realism and a true commitment of covenant. Members of the community are no longer saints or devils, but people, each a mixture of good and bad, darkness and light, each growing and each with their own hope. It is at this time of realism that people put their roots down. The community is neither heaven nor hell, but planted firmly on earth, and they are ready to walk in it and with it. That is the kind of commitment that we want to cultivate and that we need to have to be rooted in this city. We need roots that go down deep and that intertwine with one another as we grow in the Lord. And so that's going to happen in a variety of ways. One of the most important and most practical ways that that will happen throughout this year is in your community groups. And so even this week, we want you as community groups to be discussing what we talked about here on Vision Sunday and how that 30,000-foot vision plays out in your community group, in your neighborhood, and what you are committing to the church and to your community group. We need to see this play out practically and tangibly. It's also going to play out in a practical way for us as a church. In order to cultivate commitment, we're going to start a new event that we're going to call RLA Involve. This is something that we're going to do monthly, and we're going to start it in February. And it's designed for the person who comes to Reality LA a few times, and they think, I like this church. And they think, how do I get involved here? And what should happen when you visit a church is you're checking it out for a while, and then you start feeling like I need to get like plugged in. Like if you haven't felt that, you should. Okay, you shouldn't just like remain as a visitor or someone on the outside who evaluates and always checking it out. No, once you've been around long enough, commit, get involved. Let's go. And so this RLA Involve is going to be a way that we answer that and say, here's what it looks like to be involved in the church. Here's what we're calling you to be committed to. And we want to make that in a way that's very hospitable and connecting with leadership in the church and helping getting plugged in practical ways. So we'll start that in February. So that all leads us to this fifth and last question. With all of this vision of where the Lord is leading us, it leads us to this question. What's your part? What is your part? And I want to say very clearly that you have a part in this. Again, this is not my vision. We believe that this is God's vision for us as a church. And so we all need to take ownership of this. We all have a role to play. You can't just say, oh, that's the leadership will do that or someone else will do that. That God's calling us all to this. in 2019 to put down roots together to seek for the renewal of our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we also need to continue to press into the ongoing ways of just being a faithful part of the church, being realizing that we have a partnership in the gospel here, as it talks about in Philippians 1. And that calls us to commit. And there are seven ways that we've always talked about being involved in the church. It's not just, well, I go to church on Sundays, or I give financially. No, we want to have a holistic involvement in the church. And so there are seven ways to be involved. We want to gather together, so committing to church on Sundays and community group throughout the week. We reach together, so after we gather, then we scatter. We go out as ambassadors of Christ in the city. We want to believe together, trusting God through all of this and growing in the knowledge of Christ. We want to worship together, living for the glory of God with everything that we have. We want to pray together, crying out on behalf of our church and our city. We want to serve together, laying ourselves down for the good of others. And we want to give together, financially, sacrificially, contributing to the mission that God has called us to. We all have a part to play in this. And our commitment to Christ is expressed in our commitment to the church and into his mission. Now, I want to call you to a response, but I'm going to do so in a way that's different than normal, but that has become a tradition for us on Vision Sunday. And so I have tried to lay out who we are and where we're going. And now we're going to respond in three ways. First, we're going to receive communion because our commitment is first and foremost to Jesus. Then we're going to do a responsive reading as a way of expressing our commitment together. And then we're going to pray because for all of this, we are completely dependent on God. But before we do that, I want you to know that everything that I've said today is on behalf of our pastor team as a whole. And so I want to invite our team of pastors to come out and join me. The band is going to come out with them as well to prepare to lead us into response. And as they come up to join me on the stage, I want to shepherd you through how we're going to respond here. Okay, so first, like I said, we're going to receive communion, but we're going to do so in a way that is different than normal. And so first, as a sign of our commitment, and I'm saying this on behalf of the pastors, as a sign of our commitment to the vision and mission of the church and to you as the people of the church, we are going to serve you communion today. We have these little cups with the bread and the juice, and in a moment, we're going to come down and pass out all of those to you. Now, I need to let you know, they are not gluten-free, okay? So if that's you, we have our usual available. We love you. This is LA. Everything's okay. Okay, so we're gonna pass out the cups that have the bread and the juice. And if you are a follower of Christ, then we want you to take one of those and hold on to it. Okay, if you're visiting with us today and you're not a Christian, I just ask that you pass the basket on with that. There's no shame in that. We are so glad that you're here. We just want you to know that in doing this, it's our way of expressing our faith in Christ, that his body was broken for us, that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So we would want you to take the time to reflect on that which communion is pointing to in Christ himself. And then second, in terms of what's going to be different, as a sign of our unity in Christ, we're all going to take communion together at the same time. And while we're serving communion, the band will be playing, and we're going to have some scriptures on the screen that will be the basis for the responsive reading that we're going to do afterwards. And so we want you to reflect on those verses and consider if you can express your commitment to Christ and to the church in those ways. So hold on to the bread and juice, reflect on the verses on the screen, and then we'll come back up front, and I'll lead us in taking communion together. It's a beautiful sound. Sure, it's just what it sounded like in the first century. And hold on to it, and I'm going to read from the scriptures to lead us into this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. The Apostle Paul says, For I received from the Lord what I also received, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Having reflected on Christ's commitment to us, we're now going to express our mutual commitment to him. So we're going to do a responsive reading, and we are a covenantal community. And throughout the scriptures, you see God's people coming together and in one voice expressing their commitment to the Lord. And so I want to invite you to stand together. You've had time to reflect on these passages, on these very words that we will express together, and this is weighty. These are commitments that we make to the Lord and to each other, and that we hold each other to, that we remember throughout the year. We want these commitments to shape everything that we do in 2019. So I will read the sections noted as reader, and then we will all respond together in the sections noted as congregation. And Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Let's pray together. God, we come before you expressing these commitments to you, to one another, and yet at the same time knowing that we cannot fulfill them apart from your grace and from the power of your Spirit. And so God, we ask that you would enable us, that you would empower us to live for you with everything that we have, to commit to one another sacrificially, to give ourselves to the mission that you have in this city. God, we pray that as we do so, that you would grow us in intimacy with you more and more. God, I pray that in all of this, that we would be a people who our greatest good is knowing the Lord Jesus. God, we pray as we look to you that we would walk in unity, that we would experience reconciliation, that we would live as family, helping each other out, weeping with each other, laughing with each other, but moving forward together for you. And Lord, we pray that you would use us in this city for your purposes. God, we are so aware of the brokenness, of the need, of the pain. But God, we look to you and we see that nothing compares to your grace. Nothing compares to your mercy. And so God, this year, we lay ourselves before you saying, have your way with us. We commit to you. We will sacrifice for you. We surrender to you and to your agenda. Lord, use us for your glory in this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more audio and video content, please visit realityla.com.